Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. Where were we then? We were in,
Did your people have lunch?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. We went off to the... to Rube's.
So, to what degree should American military force have been in Vietnam?
Oh, well, this is it again, yeah.
Okay.
I think that the Americans should have been targeted against the North Vietnamese.
Okay.
Only the North Vietnamese. And left to the South Vietnamese armed forces, the handling of the insurgency. We're at a great disadvantage as foreigners when we go into a country.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly a country that is so potentially xenophobic as South Vietnam is. That's already been through one war fighting for independence,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden have this overwhelming presence of Americans in there. We just seem to be substitutes for the French.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this a...
That's part of the problem.
Okay.
Is that we gave the enemy the issue of nationalism as a result of this. That's part of it. The other part is the Americans are not very efficient at fighting against insurgents. These things, you're fighting against the very elusive guerrillas who can melt into the population, and you don't know who is who out there. Now, I would much rather have seen us go into North Vietnam, the southern part of North Vietnam, or right along the DMZ, and right into Laos, all the way up to Chipone, or further if necessary, to Savannakhet, and close off the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Totally blocked.
With military forces.
With military forces.
Okay.
And cut off all supplies to South Vietnam. I would have... If necessary, I would have blockaded Sihanoukville in the early days and prevented the Vietnamese communists from getting supplies and getting personnel.
These must have been policy considerations at the time.
Of course they were, and they were all afraid of
why not
China getting
it. It was China, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
but if that's what our military personnel leaders who didn't understand people's warfare.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the major problems we have there. They did not understand people's warfare.
Yeah.
The guys in the Joint Chiefs of Staff and General Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard General Westmoreland talk, I thought he'd be a great equal Boy Scout. But he doesn't have the understanding that a street fighter does of where the enemy's jugular is.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And things like the Phoenix program he just didn't understand. Pacification program, I don't think he really understood very well. And he gave lip service to the political aspects of the war and said, you know, it is a political and economic war as well as a military war, and the political is perhaps the most important aspect of the war. But he didn't follow it through.
Didn't fight that way.
No, he didn't fight the war.
Okay. Who could have done it that way? Would it just special forces? Do you think maybe?
Special
forces should be pacification, guerrilla warfare.
I think special forces and pacification, and the South Vietnamese armed forces, and an expansion of the territorial security forces of the South Vietnamese.
Okay.
You know, you'd have to have a number of American advisors, as we did. But I think we should have kept as thin a presence of American forces in South Vietnam as possible.
Right. A lot of people say that the economic, the opportunity to make money, had a lot to do with the buildup of American forces in Vietnam. Do you think that was a consideration?
Well, the opportunity to make money by the South Vietnamese, what happened was the South Vietnamese government paid its civil servants so little money that they just about had to become corrupt to survive.
Okay.
You know? And they were. They were a bunch of petty bureaucrats which turned off the rest of the South Vietnamese people.
Okay.
South Vietnamese people who came into contact with their own government were pretty much turned off by it. Now, you could get an R.D. Kennedy team to win. You could get some of them, maybe a bunch of young idealists from the same province, generally the same district, and mostly not all farm kids, enough town kids, more town kids than farm kids. But anyway, they still were basically from that area. And they could come in. They were fairly idealistic. They would do a pretty good job. But then when the people got in touch with the rest of the bureaucracy, they got repelled.
Okay. Change the subject a bit.
Sure.
Okay. Have you kept touch with Bob Wall?
Not particularly. I know Bob Wall very well. I've known him for many, many years.
I was given
Evan
Parker gave me a number it's now owned by somebody else, so I'm trying to get in touch with
him. He's not there. I sort of lost track. Bob, the last time I contacted him, Jeannie was not well, his wife.
Okay.
And Bob was teaching some consultant on leadership.
Okay.
Maybe for some school or other, a military school or something like that, I'm not sure. But I know his wife was not well, and I didn't push it, and then just sort of lost track of him. And I haven't seen him since I came down here.
Another person I was looking for is Jack Horgan.
I don't know where Jack is today. I'd heard at one time he was down at MacDill Air Force Base down here.
Okay.
But I don't know where he is now.
Any comments about how those fellows run their provinces? Regions?
Guys in the other areas?
Yeah. Did you get together with them and compare notes?
Oh, we would get together and compare notes. You know, they had different problems in the different regions. And...
Well, basically then, I'm thinking that I might not get to talk with them if they're not available. What would be the major differences in the regions? 1, 2, 3, 4.
The situations were different. The situations as far as the villages were concerned, a lot of the Cochin Chinese down in the south felt that the people up in Annam province are more like the people in Tonkin, like the northerners.
Okay.
And they're different. The Cochin Chinese felt that Ngo Dinh Diem was, you know, he's an Annamese. He's like Ho Chi Minh. He's closer to Ho Chi Minh than he is to our area.
Okay.
But then they were not like Keenan Nguyen Van Chu either, who was from the south.
Okay.
From Phan Rang.
So maybe I Corps is different because it's close to North Vietnam and Laos. And
right.
So you have all those people up there.
And the people, you know, they've got a higher proportion. The people, the Vietnamese are rather congested. They're right close to the sea, nearer to the ports.
Mountain yards up in the middle.
Yeah, whereas, and most of them own their own plots of land.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you get down into the Delta, a lot of them were tenant farmers because there were big plots of land down in the Delta. You know,
okay.
The Delta was only developed in the last 50 years, or 50 years before we get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And during that area, there were millions of acres that were, you know, turned from Delta alluvial swampland and
into rice-producing,
rice-producing
economic
areas.
Boom.
Right, as they built the canals, they used the soil to build up the land and so forth. And a lot of that land was built by the French, and then it was inhabited by the Vietnamese who were moving down. And these people, a lot of them didn't own the land. A lot of them went to work for other people. They were tenant farmers, and so they had different attitudes from the people up in the north.
Okay. And those would affect the way the region was run.
Those would be part, some of the aspects of why things were done differently. Also up in the north, they had strong U.S. forces. Down the Delta, we had relied totally on the South Vietnamese, and we got more used to working with the South Vietnamese.
Okay.
Now, and they knew they had to do the job down in the Delta, too.
Okay.
See, in the north, they became so dependent upon the Americans.
Okay.
But in the north, they also had the North Vietnamese Army to contend with, and we didn't.
Okay.
Now, we had a lot of people who were trained by the North Vietnamese who came down to the south.
Yeah.
You know, the returnees.
Mm-hmm.
And they acted like North Vietnamese in many respects.
Okay. Role of Ed Lansdale in pacification. Did he play a role?
If he did, it was sort of as an advisor, giving ideas to General Nguyen Duc Thanh, Colonel Bay, and people like that.
Not significant.
He didn't play an operational role.
Okay.
He was really in a consultancy position.
Okay. And that's it. Unless there's something that you would want to add, that's really it for my question.
No, I can't. I think we pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good.
Yeah.
Dave Phillips was this guy. Ran for Attorney General or something. Is he the one that was doing the book? Or am I a contact?
Dave Phillips?
Yeah, does that sound right? Ran for Attorney General, had been in Phoenix.
Oh, no. Now, that's the same name as Dave Phillips. Dave Phillips is the name of the guy who started the Association of Former Intelligence Officers.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know whether this is another guy with the same name. It could be.
Okay.
But there is a guy who was an attorney general.
Yeah.
Who wants to do something on Phoenix. Ran for office, but that's not Dave Phillips.
Oh, okay, two different people.
Huh? I think it's a different person, yeah.
Dave Phillips started an association of former, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Which is a big, powerful outfit now.
Yeah, I've seen the...
You know, lots of generals and so forth.
Yeah, Tilton had the book there, he's showing it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, not the same person. Okay. Ed Benham was somebody you mentioned?
He's a runner.
Oh, okay.
An ex-jockey.